This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
If you're a parent and you're listening, I'm sure you'll be nodding your head when I say that you start out thinking, you know what, I'm going to limit TV for my kids. They're not going to have any junk food and no sleeping in the bed whatsoever. Well, and after time passes, you start to allow these things to happen. Well, it's not just for our human kids that this is happening, because research is revealing that pet parents are no different. I'm thinking immediately about how I said, you know what, my dog will never sleep on the bed. And sure enough, every so often, he's up there snoring his head off. Well, to find out more about this research, we're joined by Dr. Michael Yazbek from Green Cross Vets. Michael, welcome to Drive.
Hello, thank you for having me on the show.
Why is it that we start off with good intentions with our little furry babies, but we often give in?
It's a good question. I think we always have these expectations of what we're going to be like in any situation. And being a parent or a pet parent, we have, you know, idealistic views of the discipline we're going to have and the routines we're going to be in. And, you know, as you said, the bed's a good example, but I think when we get our fur children or our pets and they come into the family, that kind of goes out the window. And the research has shown that we're just kind of, the way we look at pets is different now. They're fur children. They're no longer just pets that are kept outside. They're well integrated into the family.
Is it okay to let our puppies sleep on the bed? And what about cats?
Look, it's a personal choice. And I think it comes down to whatever you're comfortable with in terms of hygiene. But I would say, you know, if we're going to do that, just making sure they're clean and keeping up to date with all the parasite prevention, because there are things that we can share that we don't want to.
Another thing that comes to mind for me is people starting to take their animals to work more. I know I bring my dog to work at least once a week, and he sits beside me here in the studio. What did your research show in terms of people doing that?
Yeah, it showed that about 28% of people actually take their dog to work rather than leaving them at home. And you know, it's a pretty decent proportion. Mm-hmm. And if I think of a lot of work, like my workplace obviously is no surprise seeing dogs there, but a lot of workplaces, whether it be office environments or otherwise, it'd be quite interesting to see, you know, almost a third of them having dogs in there. But I think especially after the pandemic and people working at home and being around their pets, and then if they did make the transition back into the office, a lot of their dogs would have wanted to go too.
What about travel? Are we traveling with our pets more?
Absolutely, and that was one of the most surprising statistics we found, that 87% of pet parents were insisting on dog-friendly options when traveling, and that's astounding, because sometimes it's hard to find accommodation at peak times and everything, but people are saying, you know, I want to bring my dog with me and have a family holiday.
Definitely. We're chatting with Dr. Michael Yazbek from Green Cross Vets about some new research that's showing, you know, dogs or our furry friends are really our fur children. In Europe, Michael, you can take, well, in a lot of the countries there, you can take your dog into a restaurant, which I have no problem with whatsoever. Do you think that we could perhaps relax the rules over here a little bit?
I think so, and I had the same experience when I went to Europe. I was surprised how it was completely normal just to be grocery shopping or just in a shopping center having a pet dog with the owners, and I'd love to see that here, because I know I get excited even being a vet just seeing dogs at cafes and pubs and things, because it's such a novelty. But, you know, I think it'd be great if that was the norm.
What did your research show in terms of pet clothing? I know there's coats that we can get for our animals if they're cold, but we can also go to other extremes, can't we, with lots of accessories?
That's exactly it. And I think we've gone kind of from functional pet clothing to as you said, accessories and fashion and everything. And you know, we found that about 19% have bought their puppy a coat, 27% a fashion accessory like a hat or a bow tie, and 16% would buy a harness with their pet's name on it. So nice and personal.
If I bought my dog a bow tie, he would just rip it off straight away. There's no question about it. It would be chewed up.
Oh, me too.
Where does it cross the line, though? When does our, like us treating our pets like, you know, our kids as such become, you know, when can it result in bad behaviour that we potentially have to then manage down the track?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it kind of ties into making sure that we train our pets properly, because the only kind of issue I see is when we let training go, and it's all good and well at the beginning when the pets are a novelty. Like, for example, if, you know, you're letting them in the bed and everything, but if that is in the place of establishing a really good sleep routine, that may be difficult later. If you got your pet in December and you're on holidays and then you go back to work and that routine's not there, it can be quite difficult. And I think the other thing to consider is, although we have that kind of parent-child relationship with our fur children, sometimes we need to be careful not to put too much human interpretation on what we think is going on. We tend to humanize them a lot, and in some cases it's okay. In other cases, we're overinterpreting some things, I think.
Michael, great to chat with you. Hopefully we'll start to see animals a bit more in restaurants and places like that, public transport, etc.
Absolutely, I'd love to.
Thanks for chatting with us. That is Michael Yazbek from Green Cross Vets.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.